Koinonia, a place of encounter with the Holy Spirit and transformation by the principles of God's kingdom.
Lift your hands to heaven and let's bless the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord, the doer of wonders. Wave your hands to him and give him praise. Jesus, we bless you. Indeed, you are greater, mighty God. Bless his name. Give him all the praise. Adore him, exalt him. He has done all things well. And to him be all the glory. Someone is saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for breath. Thank you for life. Thank you for wisdom. Thank you for access to your grace. Let a grateful heart keep thanking the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. To him that doeth wonders, we thank you. Now bless him for tonight's meeting. Let your word come with power, O God. Let it change my life. In the name of Jesus Christ, declare over your life, declare over your spirit, declare over your mind. I am transformed tonight, even by the power of the Spirit. I access higher realms in the Spirit, even by the wisdom of the word. For in Jesus' name we pray. Father, help us tonight. In the name of Jesus, we will never take your presence for granted. Thank you for your abiding presence. Let our lives never be the same at the end of this service. And to you be all the glory. Whilst the word of God comes, let the sick be healed. Let the oppressed be delivered. In the name of Jesus, you will turn lives around tonight to the glory and the praise of your name. For in Jesus' name we pray. God bless you. Please be seated. I welcome you again to the house of the Lord. This is Koinonia. Hallelujah. I want us to remain ever grateful for the mighty hand of God in our midst, for his mercies upon our lives. Every time I sit back and I listen to the testimonies, you know, these things are not the workings of a man. They are the workings of God through men. But no man unassisted by God can produce these results. Nicodemus already taught us. He came to Jesus and he said, Rabbi, we know that thou art a man sent from God, for no man can do these things except God be with him. Hallelujah. And so we thank God, not just for these testimonies, but for what God is doing in and through this ministry across the nations of the earth, without exaggeration, phenomenal manifestations of his spirit, transformation, even by the word of God. And we thank God for what he's doing. As always, let me encourage everyone, especially those who are connecting from across the world. You are as much a part of our family as those who are within, seated in this place. Whether you are in Ghana, South Africa, UK, America, it doesn't matter. Even technology has given us intelligence to know that relative to reach, distance is no longer a barrier. Hallelujah. And I have taught you here, and it bears mention again, that fans don't receive anything. There is no provision for fans of anything. Those who admire superstars, there's no stake for them. There is no inheritance for them. So you must graduate from being a well-wisher, in fact, graduate from being a member to become a student of Scripture, one who is opened and determined to hear and learn. I teach for the effect of transformation, not just for the communication of an awareness of an information. Behind the things that I do when I teach, I hope and pray and seek to see people transformed. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you, whether you are following from any part of the world at all, and then even for us who are here, connect sincerely by the covenant of understanding. Lord, this is my word. This is church for me. My heart is open to receive. And right there in your room, your office, your home, the koinonia experience is not only limited to this auditorium. The koinonia experience is a spiritual experience that can be transported by faith to any region, any home, any locality. Are we together? You can replicate the koinonia experience by your faith. So right there in your room, it can be koinonia for you. In your office, anywhere at all, there are certain conditions that must happen for koinonia to happen. The presence of the man of God is the last of the conditions. Number one, it is the presence of God. Number two, there must be an atmosphere of faith. Number three, the ministry of the Holy Spirit must be respected. Number four, the supremacy of the word must be honored. Number five, there must be a teaching priest who is able to communicate the counsel of God with exactitude and precision. Number six, there must be excellence. If that happens, that is the koinonia experience, regardless where you are. So it's important that you don't idolize the experience. It is localized just for the sake of administration and to be able to bless those who are domiciled within that environment. But as far as the experience is concerned, it can be transported anywhere, even now. Hallelujah. So it's important for us to know. And I think the second thing I would want to say before we get to the word is, you must have this understanding. Please listen carefully. You must have this understanding that every time you see me travel to any region in this nation or any nation of the world, it is not a man of God just going to preach. You need to understand that you are also with me on that trip by covenant. Are we together? Yes. Because when you are bound by covenant and by revelation, you need to understand that it is not, there would be one person who is doing the preaching and God working the miracles, but I want you to know that every glory, every joy is to Jesus. But in terms of the honor is shared honor to all of us. I've told you that the days of superstar Christianity is over. God is not just interested in celebrities, He's interested in ambassadors. The difference between a celebrity and an ambassador is purpose. Hallelujah. Are we together now? So as we travel across the nations of the earth, bringing the message of life, blessing the body of Christ, influence is a very expensive commodity. You don't play with it. You can destroy with influence. The Bible says, a man of honor who does not know. You can go to a church and bless the church and still wreck the church because of the mismanagement of influence. Influence is a delicate and it's an expensive commodity that if trusted with it by God, you must obtain the grace to be able to manage it so that it does not destroy. Are we together? So that's that. But then my message really is that all of us, let me show you one scripture. Can I show you one scripture? 1 Samuel 30. Give us 30 and 24. Let's have Amplified. Then we'll have any other version, NLT or CEV. It says, who would listen to you in this matter? For as is the share of him who goes into battle, so is the share of him who stays by the baggage. They shall share alike. Are you seeing that now? That means the person who goes to do the actual fighting and the one who is waiting behind protecting maybe the bags, the Bible says both of them have equal share. This is a very powerful revelation. So that the one who is preaching from nation to nation and the one who is sowing, the one who is praying, the one who is wishing well, the one who is using his influence to make the journey easy, together, the Bible says all of them are preaching together. Let's see CEV or NLT, anyone. Please give us another version. Now, it says, who will listen to you when you talk like this? It says, we share and share alike those who go to battle and those who guard the equipment. All of them share alike. So for the souls that are won anywhere, when we return back, don't just say, wow, God bless him. No, Father, we thank you for the souls that were won. And you expect that as God is blessing, your own portion should come too. Except if you are not genuinely connected, and except if you are not participating. If not in giving, in prayer. If not in prayer, in well-wishing. If not in well-wishing, you help someone to connect to the meeting in your nation, wherever. Have this at the back of your mind. Number one, we do what we do not just because of the reward. We do it essentially because we love Jesus. However, the truth of the matter is that a worker is worthy of his wages. Are we together? Yes. So just to give you that understanding, that you connect by faith. So whether you are in Abuja here, or any part of this nation, or any part of the globe, connected by covenant and understanding this vision, anywhere you see God doing mighty things to us, it is a joy to all of us. It is not a joy to one person supported by fans. That's not a kingdom understanding. Are we together? It is Jesus Christ glorified through those miracles, through the transformations, and then he gives the honor to the saints that he has used. Hallelujah. Do you have that understanding now? All right, so let's go straight to the word. May tonight's teaching bless our hearts in Jesus' name. Tonight's teaching was designed by the Spirit of God to help us. You will never come for a koinonia service and lack a spirit-inspired, word-compliant, life-applicable kingdom truth. I didn't play with words. Spirit-inspired, word-compliant, life-applicable kingdom truth that makes for your lifting, for your rising. It is these adjectives that help you to understand the quality of what you are receiving. The speakings of a man on its own does not change, doesn't really bless. It is when it is spirit-inspired, word compliant. Are we together? Life applicable. That means at the end of every teaching, by the grace of God, you should find the point of application in your life. Hallelujah. Tonight I'm teaching on the price for new dimensions. It's a powerful teaching that will change your life. This is a teaching for those who desire more. This is a teaching for those who know that there is more. This is a teaching for those who have refused to plateau in life and destiny, in their walk with God. This is for those who know and believe that God is able to do abundantly, far above all we ask and think. And if you are that person, say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Open our eyes tonight and grant us grace. For in Jesus' name we pray. Can you turn it into a prayer? In fact, I like every time we participate in prayer. Lord, open my eyes. Reveal to me the keys. In Jesus' name we pray. All right, so let's get to work. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 18. The Bible tells us that the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more, even unto the perfect day. The perfect day is the day when the Lord comes. The perfect day is not the day when you shine brightest. The perfect day is that day when the Lord comes to wrap up life as we know it. So until then, you have not gotten into that perfect day, and there is still room for more. There is still room to keep pressing. The Bible says, more and more is the heritage of everyone who is the justified. Are we together? More and more. Not more alone. Not more once. More and more. One level of greatness after another. One level of encounter after another. Job chapter 28, from verse 7 and 8, Job himself was giving us a testimony by the Spirit that there is a path which no fowl knoweth, which the vulture's eye hath not seen. Job is speaking now. He says, the lion's whelps have not trodden, nor the fierce lion passed by it. Give us verse 7 again. Do you know what this means? The vulture, if you study the vulture is a very strange bird. It can pick with precision anywhere there is meat that is dead and rotten. Are we together now? With precision, from a high altitude. You see them roaming around abattoirs. You see them roaming anywhere there is a dead body, anywhere there is anything that is newsworthy and can be food. The vulture sustains the ability to pick the signal. And yet the Bible says there is a path which no fowl knoweth. The birds have an advantage of the air. They don't walk on land, so they are not limited in perspective. Are we together? The bird can see higher and greater. If you drive, you are only limited by the frame of your sight. Are we together? But when you are in the air, you will be able to see a lot more. Now the Bible says the birds have those advantages, and yet there is a path their eyes cannot see. It says even the vulture that has the power of sight and then the advantage to be able to smell and pick signals, even the vulture has not seen. Are we together now? Verse 8. We are giving definition to more and more. It says the lion's whelps have not trodden. That means the lion is not afraid of any animal. You know, the lion does not fear. It may only run to re-strategize. It has earned itself the title of being the king of the jungle. And so if there is any virgin place where the lion and its pride has not gotten to, it will trod its feet there and establish its dominion there. And yet the Bible says the whelps of the lion have not trodden. Even the angry lion has not passed by it. This is only a definition that there are still realms and there are still dimensions kept for the people of God. Are we together? That everything you have seen about God until now is not all that He wants to reveal. Everything you have seen about spiritual power is not all that there is. All that you have seen about revelation is not all that there is. All that you have seen about prosperity, increase. Someone say there is more. Speak it prophetically. Say there is more. More and more is the destiny of God's people. The path of the just. We have been justified in Christ, and the Bible says our destiny, our heritage in Christ is more and more. That means there is no plateauing for the believer. It is from one strike to another. When you think they have exhausted everything, they will come to a higher dimension. May that be your testimony. In the name of Jesus Christ. In Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1, popular scripture, John the apostle was caught up in heaven. And remember the chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. The Bible says that he was in the spirit on the Lord's day. You find that in verse 10 of chapter 1. So he was already in the spirit on the Lord's day. When you look at Revelation 1 verse 10, I believe, he said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. So he was already in the spirit. But when we get to chapter 4 and verse 1, the Bible says, after this I looked, is God helping us already? And behold, a door was open. Where? In heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me. And he said, come up hither. Already in the spirit. Already in heaven. And the voice said, come up hither. The voice didn't just say, look around. Rise, that even though you are in the spirit, even though you are already in heaven, even though you have seen, you have received the message to the seven churches, there is still more. Come up hither and I will show you the things that must be thereafter. Someone say more and more. I wrote down here, I said there is always more for the people of God. There is always more. You have to burn that as a revelation in your spirit. So if God opens you up to a level of the healing anointing, opens you up to a level of the prophetic, opens you up to a level of wealth and prosperity, opens you up to a level of leadership and influence, it doesn't matter in what dimension, you must settle it at the back of your mind that all I have seen is not all that there is. The price for new dimensions. There is always more. More and more is the destiny of every believer in Christ. Hallelujah. There is still more in your walk with God. There is still more as far as destiny actualization is concerned. There is still more as far as your excelling in life is concerned. Unfortunately, the Bible and even history is full of people who do well and rise to certain levels in ministry, in business, in career, whatever area. And they may not backslide, they may not go down, but they seem to plateau at a level. And sometimes they plateau at that level until they are edged out of relevance. Are we together now? This has happened respectfully over men of God. This has happened over business people. This has happened over people in government. This has happened to leaders. The goal of this teaching is that you get to that more and more dimension where as far as the assignment committed to you is concerned and your destiny and your press into God, that you will never stop. You will never have a better yesterday in the name of Jesus Christ. Very quickly, I'm going to run through the price. I like responsible Christianity. I am an advocate of responsible Christianity. Responsible Christianity means that number one, you are open to the provisions that redemption has brought, but you are also told the role, the participatory role that you have to play in making that finished reality an experience in your life. That is responsible Christianity. It is a fact that it is not all up to God and it is not all up to you. Are we together now? Yes. As far as bringing that reality and making it finish from the realm of the spirit is concerned, it is exclusively God's assignment. But making it manifest and revealed in your life, you have a role to play. So the formula is always the spirit and the bride say come. If the spirit is saying come and you, the bride, does not say come, come cannot manifest. The spirit and the bride say be lifted. The spirit and the bride say be healed. For many of you, the spirit has been saying for a long time, come up hither. But the bride has refused to answer. The spirit has been saying, rise to a new level prophetically. Rise to a new level of prosperity. Rise to a new level of grace. But there seemed to be a spiritual deafness or the laxity to rise. So tonight's teaching is equipping us with the knowledge we need to leave that area where we have been limited and to rise to a new level in the name of Jesus Christ. This may be a message for a man of God who is saying, Apostle, I may not know what is wrong with my spiritual life. I can't say I'm backslidden, but I'm tired. No new messages, no revelation. I'm not sure I'm seeing anything more. I'm just recycling my current realm. He said, ye have compassed this mountain long enough. Turn ye northwards. This may be for a businessman, someone in your finances. You can't say you are going down, but in truth, there is nothing new. New is a very powerful spiritual word. It means there is increment, there is growth. Are we together now? I'm going to give you a few keys that represent the price that altogether will bring you to a new dimension. And I'm praying in the name of Jesus that this teaching will not be casual for you, that you will listen to it not just with your physical ear alone, because the Bible says he that hath an ear, there is a spiritual ear, and many people do not have it, and so they don't hear. They keep nodding. Sometimes they say tell them, and at the end of the service they don't receive anything. I pray that your ears be open and your eyes be open in the name of Jesus Christ. The first prize that is responsible for accessing higher realms and dimensions in life and in destiny is the price of a deeper experience with God. The price of a deeper experience with God. Take me deeper. You know that song? Deeper in love with you. Jesus, hold me close to your embrace. Take me deeper. Deeper than I've ever been before. I just wanna love you more and more. How I long to be deeper. Can I tell you, those who will keep making news for the kingdom are those who understand that it is the deeper and the richer your walk with God, the more the sound of your exploits in the spirit. Are we together? Physically speaking, the heavier an object, the more it will make noise when you throw it on the ground. Is that true? When you carry a strand of hair or a feather and you throw it, it will take so long to arrive the ground and you will almost not know that there is anything there. News is a product of deep relationship with the Spirit. You want God to announce you to your world. It is not just looking for opportunities. You have to have a deeper walk with God. A deeper walk with God. 2 Kings 19:30. The remnant that is escaped of the house of Judah, it says the first thing they shall do is to take root or bear root downwards, and then they will bear fruit upwards. Are we together? That those that have escaped and are preserved, if they are to gain stature, they will bear root downwards. For you to understand this, you have to understand agriculture. Please look up. There are grasses and little shrubs that last for days, weeks, and at best a few months. You can pull them up because their roots are not deep. Sometimes their roots are even visible. Is that true? You can see them. And because their roots are not deep, you don't expect that they become giant trees. If you plant your maize, the ridge that you make for maize, sometimes it may not even be anything serious, just enough to cover it. Is that true? And then it grows, because after 3 months you are going to cut everything away. But there are trees, giant oak trees, and many trees that we have in Africa and around the world. Some of those trees are 30 years old, 60 years old, hundreds of years old. And you find out that the root of those trees, without exaggeration, sometimes it can be so deep, deep enough to be the size of a house. And it sinks right to the ground. Are we together? Whether there is rain or no rain, it doesn't wait for any season. It has gone deep enough to touch where there is constant supply. The Bible says it shall be like a tree that is planted by the streams of water. Are we together now? Whose leaves does not wither. And the reason is because it does not have to wait for seasons to change to flourish. It has found its way to get a constant supply of water. Hallelujah. So the deeper your root spiritually, in terms of your fellowship with God, in terms of your prayer life, in terms of your love for God, your honor and your spiritual understanding, generally your love and your passion and your fire for God, there is a guarantee from that experience that you will not plateau. Show me a man whose passion for God never goes down. I show you a man whose relevance will remain. Show me a preacher. Show me a businessman. Show me a politician. Show me a career person who has that degree of respect for God. I show you a man that no matter what storms come, he will remain and he will increase. Somebody say more and more. One more time, prophesy. Say more and more. Hallelujah. Are we learning? In 2 Chronicles chapter 15, 2 Chronicles chapter 15, we'll read from verse 10. It says, so they gathered themselves together at Jerusalem, reading to 15, in the third month, and in the 15th year of the reign of Asa. And they offered unto the Lord the same time of the spoil which they had brought, 700 oxen and 7,000 sheep. 12. And they entered into a covenant. What was the covenant? To seek the Lord, the God of their fathers, with all their heart and with all their soul. Next verse. That whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel, he should be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. Two more verses, 14. And they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice, and with shouting, and with trumpets, and with cornets. The last verse. It says, and all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart, and sought him with their whole desire. And he was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest round about. What was the secret? They said the issue of seeking God, we bind it as a covenant. We are not going to depend on our emotions. The day I feel good, the day it works well for me, no, I will seek the Lord no matter what happens. 2 Chronicles 26 and verse 5, speaking about Uzziah, the secret to his prosperity and exploit. The Bible says, and he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as Uzziah sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. The word prosper there has nothing to do with money. It means to excel. It means to advance. It means to continue. For as long as he sought the Lord made him to prosper. May you never get to any point in your life where you feel you have sought God enough. May you never get to a point in your life where you feel your prayer life is enough. May you never get to any point in your life where you feel your commitment and your passion for God is enough. Are we together? The only place you are permitted to say enough is in acquisitions of material things and then just the earthly study of things. He said, of reading many books, there is no end, and much study is a weariness to the soul. He says, this is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. But as far as seeking God is concerned, even in heaven, our pursuit still continues. Is someone learning? Exodus chapter 33 and verse 14. We're discussing the first prize. The prize of a deeper experience with God. This is Moses. They are about to leave. Are we together? Sojourning through the wilderness. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give you rest. Speaking to Moses now. Verse 15. And he said, Moses is replying now, if your presence does not go with us, do not take us away from here. Our journey is useless if we do not have the backing of your presence. This is a word for someone. Before you start taking steps, verify whether God is with you. If money is the only thing that is with you, you are still in trouble. Money can be with you minus God. You are only getting into trouble. Because even the door that will lead you to trouble must be open too. So not every open door is God's door. Satan also opens doors. The prison has doors. And just because the prison door is open, it can be open for you to enter inside. Nobody enters into the prison with a closed door. The door will first have to be open. Among the many things you have to verify on your way, every once in a while, take a break and check. What do I have around my life? I have results. What do I have around my life? Anointing. What do I have around my life? Fame. What do I have around my life? More money than I had last year. If God is not at the top of everything around you, stop there and make sure you secure his presence before the journey continues. Is someone learning now? Failure to do that will only cause you casualties. This is the mistake of great people. They begin with God, but then they get to a point in their Christian experience where they feel, listen, do I really need God? I've become a celebrity. I am famous. Remember, the teaching tonight is not for those who are starting. The teaching tonight is the secret for remaining and increasing. You know what it takes to start. To start the church. To start the ministry. To start the business. Be cheerful when you begin to have results. Because among the many things that will look too heavy for you to carry may be God. And so you can throw God aside so that the luggage will be easier to continue the journey. I'd rather stay in one place with God than to move with other things and without him. Moses was wise. Remember when they left Egypt, I hope you know they did not leave empty. They left with gold, remember? They left with a lot of things. Moses would have said, we have gold. If enemies come to capture us, we'll just negotiate with them and say, okay, we are not empty, we have gold. But he said, if your presence will not go with us, do not take us away from here. Let's finish that scripture, 16. It says, for wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in your sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated or distinguished, I and thy people, from the people that are upon the face of the earth. There is a mark that comes upon a destiny that values divine presence. You carry divine presence in ministry, the difference will be clear and unmistakable. You carry divine presence in business, you carry it in raising your children, you carry it in exploring your destiny adventure. Some of you have thrown God so that you have space to collect money. Some of you threw God as a necessary, you threw him away, you are too much of a luggage. I notice that every time I hold you, when people try to offer me money, I can't collect it. Some of you have thrown God so that you will preserve your pride. The price for new dimensions, number one, is a deeper experience with God. Take your place. Take your place. Take your place. Take your place. Take my body, my soul, my spirit. Breathe on me. Take my body, my soul, my spirit. Breathe on me. Hallelujah. Never let the pursuit of God become an embarrassment because of where you have arrived. Can I kneel down again? Will it not be an inconvenience? Can I lift my hands in worship again with all my subordinates here? I now run a conglomerate with offices in UK, with offices in Russia, with offices in America, and all of my subordinates are there. Now I'm a great man of God. I have a lot of sons. Can I be embarrassed to roll on the floor before God? Never get to a point where your love for God becomes a thing of shame. You are already in trouble. Hallelujah. Never let your clothes be too expensive that it cannot touch the ground. When the ark of God was being returned back to Jerusalem, David, who was king at that time, he danced in a way that looked like he was a madman. The Bible described this as an undignified dance. And his wife, who was Saul's daughter, looked at him in shame and said, oh dear, what a foolish and stupid king. Look at how you brought reproach to yourself before your contemporaries. And he said, let me tell you something. I know you are my wife, but I need to educate you. I am not dancing before this man. I am dancing before God, who collected the kingdom from your father and gave it to me. David acknowledged that that realm he was given. Who would have known? Do you know there is nowhere? David was not like Joseph, who had a dream that one day he will become king. The Bible never records. At least Joseph had a consolation. He was dreaming. David never knew. If you ask David in the wilderness, David, who will you become? He will say, I will become a warrior. Not knowing that that victory was only a starting point. Someone is already celebrating success too much. You are already over celebrating a little realm. Whereas God's call and destiny for you is that he will make you captain over his inheritance. Is someone learning? The God you found in the wilderness must be the God you honor in the palace. If the God you found in the wilderness was powerful enough to bring you in the palace, you would be foolish to throw him away for Dagon. When David came and met Saul and proposed to fight Goliath, Saul said, okay, I am a king. I have the best of armory. Take all my armory. And he said, King, I respect you, but I have my weapons that I was trained with.
I'm not here to come and it's not just military might. I have a covenant by reason of my seeking God. Let me tell you the truth. In this end time, God will raise unassuming, unusual people. People who, when you add them up, they don't equal to the result that should be. But because of their determination to seek and walk with God, God will carry some things as gifts. God will carry the prayer requests of nations and institutions and give individuals as a testament for seeking them. You believe what I'm telling you. You've not seen prosperity yet until you see people who are unassuming, who will be custodians of the wealth of the kingdom, that God will give it to them by himself. If you interview them in terms of business intelligence, the truth is that you will be disappointed. They don't add up. Yet you cannot deny the result because they sought the Lord. There are many, many kinds of graces and anointings that have not yet been released, but are coming. I tell you, you will see men rise who are like gods upon the earth. Power and dimensions, miracles and the manifestations of the Spirit. The deaf ears and the blindness you are talking about, it will be common occurrence. You will not have to put a crusade for that to happen. That people will be walking on the street and they will pass a mortuary and dead bodies will come back to life without the people even knowing that they were used by God to heal the sick. This is what God wants to do. But there is a price. The price of a deeper walk with God. Father, you have blessed me. Now I have a mansion. Now I have cars. Now I have influence. But I count them but dung. The way I rolled 10 years ago, I will still roll in your presence. My clothes may have changed, but my allegiance will never change. My clothes may have changed, but my worship will not change. My car may have changed. My pedigree may have changed, but you still remain my God. Someone pray in 1 minute. Lord, I repent for trying to replace you with many things on my way to greatness. Please pray. For someone, this is why you came to church. Shalabrandege barakos kadibraha shalabaradus yata. Shabrokadus yata barus kadiyada. You are my God. As a shepherd and as a king, you are my God. As an employee and as an entrepreneur, you are my God. You are my God. No matter where I go to, no matter where I become, you see, let me tell you something. Please listen. Listen and learn. We still have a lot to look at. Do you know, when God begins to lift you and put you in a position of influence, now you are in an elevated position where people watch you. And the first thing they want to watch is who you honor and what you love. You can influence a generation with one encounter to reject Christ, because you have mismanaged influence. There are many people today who vowed all kinds of vows to God. Lord, if you lift me, I will stand for you. But now when you begin to fly around the world, you come into a realm of priority living where your name has become a key to many lives. Chances are excellent that God now becomes a luggage and an inconvenience for you. Many have lost their touch with God. Many have maintained a level at a level that God lifts you and you are still doing 2 verses per day. Honestly, you are not a serious Christian. Maybe for a start as a believer. The fast of 10 years ago must be restored back. The prayer of 10 years ago must be restored back. The sitting outside of 10 years ago where you say, Lord, it is in the dead of the night, but I'm still awake with you here.
To worship you, I leave to worship you. To worship you, to worship you, I leave to worship you. Oh, 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 oh,
oh. Hallelujah. You have heard me say this. Everything God gives you is not all He wants to give you. At any point in your life, whatever you receive from God, just know that it is part of the full package. No matter how great it is. God gave me 1 billion. Ah, that is all. And God is saying, so the goal is for 100 billion and billions of dollars to fund the kingdom. And just because you had 1 billion in your mind, it has carried you away. God gave me a this. God now made me an estate, whatever it is.
Ah. I cast my crown before the highest royalty. I am undone before your glorious majesty. I cast my crown before the highest royalty. And I am undone before
the glorious majesty.
You're the King of kings and Lord. Lord, you are the King of kings. You are the Lord of hosts. Your glorious majesty. Yabo nenaka sujada nenaka perkins the light.
Can I tell you? You must get to a point in your life where it is not just your knowledge that mentors people, even your worship. Your allegiance to the King of Kings will make someone to say, listen, ordinary I would have laughed at this person, but I saw him 10 years ago. The same rolling, I laughed at the rolling, but look where the rolling has brought him today. And I will join and also roll. If that rolling has brought him to this level, don't waste your influence. Use it to mentor nations. Don't waste your influence. The first prize for new dimensions, a deeper walk with God. Please sit down. Prize number two, let's hurry up so we can pray tonight. Is someone already blessed? The second prize that must be paid, a non-negotiable prize. Listen very carefully now. Just help those under the anointing, but please don't be distracted. If you must ascend higher levels, not only in the spirit, but in life and in destiny, superior levels of exploits, ever increasing testimonies, the price of unbending focus. That is the second price. The price of unbending focus. Show me a man of unbending focus. A man who will not be distracted, whether by success or failure. I show you a man who will remain and increase. Philippians chapter 3, from verse 13, even to 15. Philippians chapter 3. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. He is speaking to brethren. We are talking about Apostle Paul here. Paul the great, Paul the anointed, Paul the miracle worker, Paul the learned, Paul the intelligent. Brethren, I count not myself. That means you can count me to have apprehended. But this is my honest review about my life. I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. He never said forgetting wrong things that are behind. He never said forgetting good things that are behind. He said forgetting those things that are behind. And reaching forth to the things which are before. Ah. There are always things before. I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He says, let us therefore, as many as be mature, that's the meaning of the word perfect, be thus minded. How minded? That means at any point in your life, count yourself to not have apprehended. Are we together now? That even though you are honestly receiving an applause, justifiably so, for the strides, the kingdom strides you are making, that you get to a point where you do not allow your focus to bend. I count myself to not have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 7. I found this scripture and it was quite interesting. The Bible says, for the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore I have set my face like a flint. And I know that I shall not be ashamed. There is a relationship between focus. Are we together now? Focus and advancement. There is a relationship between distraction and shame. The price of unbending focus. I wrote a few things here that I want you to see. Number one, under the price for unbending focus, you must obtain grace to fight arrival mentality. Arrival in quote. You must obtain grace from God to fight arrival mentality. I've arrived at this level of anointing. I've arrived at this level of grace. I've arrived at this level of revelation. I've arrived at this level of prosperity. I have 10 estates. I'm a billionaire. I'm a politician. Finally, I've gotten to be a house member or senator or president or governor or whatever it is. I am now a CEO. I am now the African representative of this bank or this conglomerate. Arrival mentality has destroyed many people. Same Philippians, please. Give us 3 and verse 12. Let's read 12 and 13. Hallelujah. Alright. He said, not as though I had already attained. Either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Jesus Christ. Verse 13. He says, brethren, now where we read, I count myself. So he's saying, it is not as far as I'm concerned. No matter what you tell me, I still walk like somebody who has something in front. I don't walk like someone who has arrived. You know what arrival mentality is? That means you get to a point where you tell yourself, I'm not talking of contentment. Arrival mentality is very different from contentment. Hallelujah. Where you feel there is nothing more to do with your life as far as maximizing life is concerned. You know that happened to Lucifer? I will ascend above the stars of God and I will be like the Most High. After all, my office is the custodian of the mysteries of heaven. So I think I know everything. Little did he know that there was more. Beware of arrival mentality. I wrote something down here. Both failure and success, both discouragement and over-celebration of results can be distractions. That means success and failure can do the same thing to you eventually. Failure can discourage you. Success can create complacency. While it is good and honest to celebrate every stride, you must be cheerful and manage your celebration so that you do not over-celebrate results. Now, the truth is that when you rise among people who are lower than you, no matter how little your resource is, it will look big in the eyes of those lower than you. You must be honest with yourself and gauge yourself by a global kingdom standard and then ask yourself, have I really gone there? In Africa, we celebrate very small things, small results, small results. In business, in ministry, you will see a little corporation that maybe is netting just a few million naira, even not even dollars. And yet the pride that the leaders and the executives have, respectfully speaking, no. Just because you can afford food to eat, just because you have a house, you have a car, just because you can afford a bit of luxury living and a few things, it does. That is not all there is to life. There is so much more. Are we together? The price of unbending focus. I talk to myself every time on this wise. Joshua Selman, thank God for what God is doing in your life. My phone is full of text messages from people literally across the globe without exaggeration. Oh man of God, I listened to this. This one happened. And in all fairness, they are not lying. However, you must tell yourself, everything God has given me now is not all He plans to give me. Every level is the test for the next level. Every level. As soon as you achieve something in a level, know that it is automatically the exam you are writing for the next level. Every level of achievement is the test you must pass for the next level. Are we together? So both failure and success. If you have done well and the world is celebrating you, don't run away, don't push it away and say, no, don't celebrate me. No. But you must know when to draw the line. The moment celebration becomes flattery and is already planting the seed of complacency, you must stop and say, thank you. I have received enough to motivate me for the next level. My exams have started. You must know when the feast of celebration is over and when you've entered the classroom to write the exams. If you are still dancing in the classroom, believing that the classroom is the place for celebration, you will fail your exams. Thank God for this new level of the prophetic. Thank God for this new level of grace, this new level of insight. But now that you have given me, oh God, thank you for it. But I know it is an exam I'm writing. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Hallelujah. There are many, many little small prayer groups that will never grow into a giant kingdom platform for blessing the nations. Because right from infancy, many of them are almost killing themselves on arrival. Let me tell you this. I'm speaking particularly to those in probably ministry, business and all of that. Let us be very careful. Let us be very careful. Let's learn from our fathers. There is nothing that somebody can want that has not been given. And yet these fathers, you see them with humility, including businessmen. Look, let me tell you, for those of you who have had the opportunity to sit with billionaires and very wealthy people, you will be flattered by their humility and their sense of honor and respect. And you'll be asking, is it these people? And then the ones that don't have anything, you will know immediately that they don't have anything. Are we together? A wealthy man can enter a restaurant and is very cautious, greeting people, good afternoon, how are you? And somebody will tell you, that's the owner of this restaurant too. And you hear somebody who will sit down 5 minutes, is impatient. You've kept me waiting here, you don't know who I am, you better... You see, you easily know when people begin to, when they lose focus and they lose vision. Listen, I don't know if I've taught it here, but if you study the life of Gideon, there were two tests that they had to pass to qualify the 300 who defeated the Midianites. When Gideon blew the trumpet, the Bible says 33,000 people came. But there were too many, God said. He said, no, I can't take these people to the place of destiny like this. Test number one, whoever is afraid, whoever loves and misses his home more than the future, go back. And the Bible says about 20 or 22,000 people went back. That means everybody was there. Hey, we'll make it. But some were already dead on arrival. They went back. And he said, there are still too many. Test number two. He told them you will get to the water brooks. The water brooks was not at the beginning of the journey. You would have to make some progress. And he says, study their behavior in the presence of that water. Those who bend and lap like dogs, those are the ones that I want you to keep. Those who sit down and properly drink like human beings, let them go back home. Do you know what that meant? If you watch a dog, and as it takes water, it never takes water sitting or lying down. It means I'm aware that I still have somewhere to go. This is a momentary success. By the time you get to the water brooks after walking for a long time, that is a sign of results. Now you have gotten water to quench your thirst. And he said, those who sit down, that means they have camped. I'm not standing up again. Let them go home. Their attitude. Those who laugh like dogs, that means they still have the sense of vision that this is just a momentary blessing, but the real journey is not to. I didn't leave my home to come and drink water. I left my home to go and defeat the Midianites. And if I find water on the way, thank God, but I will not camp there.
And we will never settle for less. We know there's more that's found in you. And we will never settle for less. We know there's more that's found in you.
Prophesy to yourself.
And we will never settle for less. When we know there's more that's found in you.
Price number two. The price of unbending focus. Unbending focus. Can you still remember the vision of your ministry, or you have forgotten? Can you still remember the vision of your organization? Can you still remember what you wrote on paper? Some of you have even misplaced the notebooks where you wrote the visions that govern your life, because as at the time you wrote it, you didn't have a business. As at the time you wrote it, you didn't know you would be this great. You wrote many things there. Now you cannot even find the book. Buy another one and start again. If the words are really precious, you honor them by writing. He says, write, for these words are faithful. Write, they are true. Hallelujah. If you don't have a vision for your life, and the things that you are doing, life will give you many visions. Useless visions that are inconsistent with the blueprint of your call. For someone God is speaking to you, get back. Go back home and open that notebook. The way this ministry is going, is that what God told us? We started well, but on the way they said, if you are going like this, you will be hungry. And he said, so which one works now? They said, let me tell you the one that works now. Do this, do that, and you have veered off from what God told you and your covenant with God. Are we together? Unbending focus. We need to become people of focus so that you are not distracted. Thank God for the great things, but you must be at your vision. Thank God for food. Thank God for the blessings that follow destiny, but never be distracted by them. I listened to a video, I watched a video years ago. I think it was by late Steve Jobs. It was a video that they did in 1992 or thereabout. And it was then, you know, they were really very small. And he was doing a little training for some of the senior executives of his corporation then. And I listened very carefully to what he told them. He told them that our goal is, you know, I can't remember exactly what he said the goal was, but there was no mention of money there. There was no mention of fame there. There was no mention of reaching the whole world, just like a human effort of becoming famous. They were never part of the goals. The goal was to be able, based on what they said, to at least be able to contribute to make the world a better place by offering whatever it is that they were offering. I said, no wonder they became great. For someone from beginning, you say, this life, my share, it must come. That's your goal. And you find out you won't go far that way, because already, you are already at the corridors of compromise. Because the goal is not superior enough to guide your life and ward off distractions. Number three. Is someone learning? The third price for greater and higher dimensions is the price of greater enlightenment. Oh, please settle and listen to this one. The price for greater enlightenment, or the price of greater enlightenment. Galatians chapter 2. God is going to speak to someone now. From verse 1 and 2. Light me, Lord. Light me, Lord. Light me, Lord, like a candle. Light me, Lord. Light me, Lord. Light me, Lord, like a candle. Light me, Lord. Light me, Lord. Light me, Lord, like a candle. Light me, Lord. Light me, Lord. Price number three, the price of greater enlightenment. Galatians 2, 1 and 2. Then 14 years later, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus also with me. I love verse 2. It says, and I went up by revelation. I didn't go up by suggestion. I didn't go up by what? I went up by revelation. Of course, it has its literal meaning there to explain what he was doing. But that is a prophetic expression there. I went up. In this kingdom, we go up by revelation. I went up by revelation. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 2. It has become an anthem in this house. 8 and verse 2, 1 Corinthians. If any man think that he knoweth anything, he says he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. The price of greater enlightenment. Acts chapter 18 from verse 24 and 25. Acts 18. Remember a popular story? The Bible says a certain Jew named Apollos, he was born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in scriptures. The Bible says he came to Ephesus, and then the man was instructed in the way of the Lord. Being fervent in spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. Let's read 26. The Bible says, one time he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. The price of greater enlightenment. Listen, if you want to rise higher in life, you must contend for greater levels of enlightenment. And I broke this enlightenment into two. Number one, the first dimension of greater enlightenment you must contend for, they are called the mysteries of the kingdom. Please write. The first dimension of enlightenment you must contend for, you must contend for higher and superior levels of the knowledge of the mysteries of the kingdom. Matthew 13:11, for it has been given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. The mysteries of the kingdom. We discussed this already. Knowest thou the ordinances of heaven, and canst thou establish the dominion thereof on earth? So that's the first dimension of the greater enlightenment. You must know the mysteries of the kingdom. What are they? The spiritual secrets by which dominion is activated through. It's important for you to know that. Dominion does not just happen. Authority is not only, it doesn't just work arbitrarily. It is on the strength of the mysteries of the kingdom that we command dominion in this earth. But the second dimension, not many believers have paid attention to it. It's called the law of life and the law of human nature. The law of life and human nature. Listen, there are superior levels of greatness, and there are dimensions in this kingdom and in the cosmos that if you do not understand the laws of life and the laws that govern human nature, you can call them the laws of the cosmos. There are laws that operate in this earth. Failure to know them, you will get into all kinds of trouble. When you are dealing with the mysteries of the kingdom, you will learn the laws of prayer and priesthood. Is that true? You will learn the law of giving. You will learn the law of meditation and speaking and all of those things. But as wonderful as that is, you must be able to complement it with the intelligence of the laws of the cosmos. Most people do not know this. Let me show you three scriptures. Luke chapter 16 and verse 8. Hear what Jesus said. Luke 16 and verse 8. If God is blessing you, say amen.
Amen.
He gave a parable of the unjust steward. And here was the conclusion of that parable. The Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation, he said, wiser than the children of light. He acknowledged that they were the children of this world under the influence of the cosmos. But he says they are wiser than the children of light. Do you know that Jesus began his teaching? Look up, please. Notice the structure of Jesus' teaching. He began his teaching with what we call the Beatitudes. Are we together? Blessed are these, the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And then eventually, he switched into teaching them the cosmos, the world system. He taught them, he now began to give them enlightenment on how to live effectively in the cosmos. Matthew chapter 10, please. He began his teaching in Matthew chapter 5, teaching them on prayer, teaching them on several things, you know, righteousness and all of that. By the time we get to chapter 10 from verse 16, hear what he said. Jesus now, giving us the wisdom of living and excelling in the cosmos. He said, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents. One of the few times in the Bible where Jesus will recommend understudying the serpent. The serpent has always typified Satan, evil, and disaster. But when it has to do with the intelligence, please keep that scripture, of excelling in this cosmos, he says, make sure you learn the wisdom of the serpent and yet be as harmless as doves. 17. Give us 17. It says, but beware of men. That is already a very strong instruction he's telling you. Beware. There is something about the human nature in the world that you are living in. Don't just be a prayer warrior, a fasting giant, a revelation giant, and then don't sustain wisdom. Please look at me. Let me teach you this. My precious people, hear me. Many believers are completely ignorant as far as the intelligence of dealing with the cosmos is concerned. And it has cost us many things beyond our imagination. There are laws of human nature. There are laws that you must know. It is true. For instance, I've taught you one of them, the law of seasons. Is that true? That no season remains consistent. Seasons change. It is a law that operates while the earth remaineth. Is it not in your Bible? Seed time and harvest. You will never have seed time alone. You will never have harvest alone. You must know how to take advantage of seasons. When you see the rainy season for us in Nigeria here, I told you, remember the law of seasons? Every rainy season comes with a letter from dry season. I am coming. And every dry season comes with a letter from rainy season. I am coming. If you enjoy the season and don't collect the letter and read it, you will be in trouble. Every time you see evil, it is because there is good. It's called the law of polarity. Every time you see darkness, it's because there is light. Male, female. God himself designed that law. I'm not talking about some Scientology and some demonic thing. I'm talking of the wisdom of the cosmos. Jesus here is telling you, understudy the serpent. There are men who have taken advantage of that season. Even animals and ants that don't have conferences, they are not filled with the Holy Ghost. They don't pray in tongues, but they have taken advantage of the laws of the earth. And with it, animals have never experienced ants that we know. We have not seen them gang up together to say there is famine because there are laws that they operate. They don't have an advantage. As far as we know, they praise God because the Bible says everything that has breath, let it praise the Lord. But we don't know about prayer. Are we together? Human beings are the only species that are so disoriented. The animals, to the Bible, to the point that the Bible says, "Oh sluggard, go to the ants and learn that they do not have a king." In other words, there is problem with structure, and yet in it they still excel. The wisdom of the cosmos. There are many natural laws that govern our world. Gravity is not just a spiritual law, it is also a natural law. It is because of the awareness of it today, we have come into that awareness and we have built things around it to our advantage. There are many things you have to know about life and the nature of man. Is someone learning now? I wrote here, for instance, you have to understand the principles of cause and effect. It will guide you. In addition to the fear of the Lord that you have, if you understand that there are consequences for every action, it will tame the things that you do. There is a law of seasons. The awareness of the selfish nature of men. You can pray in tongues, you can fast, have spiritual understanding, and then in addition, when you now go to the work, the place of work or your place of business, there is an awareness that all human beings are not like those in your house. You know, most believers have been shielded from the reality of how life truly is. They are used to innocent people. They are used to, you can keep your money in your house and come and see someone package it for you and say, "With love from your brother." And some of us believe that the whole world is like that. Are we together? You can be fasting and someone will cook for you and say, "This is to sow into your life." And then for many, especially Christian families, the moment their children have the honor, you don't have to be evil to be exposed to the loss of life. Unfortunately, when you are exposing people and teaching them the wisdom of the cosmos, they will say it's not necessary. After all, I have God. I'm going to show you something that will bless you. Is God blessing you already? So many Christian young people especially are very naive as to the realities of the cosmos. As soon as they come out and they are no longer under the influence of parents or guidance or church, maybe they relocate out of Nigeria, or they now get jobs, or they get married, or something happens that exposes them to the world, they spend about the first 10 years of their life paying the price of ignorance. Spiritually alive, but very dead in terms of the wisdom of the cosmos. So someone can come and say, "You know what? I'm a nice person. I love you very much. How much do you have?" You say, "I have 1 million. My father gave me and said he has settled me." Say, "Just bring it. I'm a very faithful person." And they naively bring it because they say, "No, it has to be God, because this is how favor works." Most people do not understand the wisdom of the cosmos. That the heart of man is desperately wicked. That is a powerful information you should store as you explore this adventure of life. It's not to make you suspicious. It now creates a prayer request. "Lord, send good people to my life. Send destiny helpers to my life." Because of the awareness of that law. Are we together? So the moment you hear that, the earth is going to fold up, you just know that based on the law of seasons, the thing that is the thing that was, and the thing that will be thereafter. You will find rest. The only person who will close the earth is the one who opened it. There is nothing that will happen on earth that is enough to fold the earth like a curtain. God will close the earth intentionally. It's not disaster that will close the earth. So no matter how bad what happens, you know, economically, politically, there will always be a way out. We are not the first. There have been dark ages in history. Is that true? There has been famine in history. Is that true? But there also has been abundance. Is that true? Just the knowledge of the law of seasons will give you the staying power through the storms in your life. So for this season, I do not have a job. This season, it looks like things are not working. But I understand, number one, the integrity of God. But even within the cosmos, I know that everything is transient. So rather than regretting over current seasons, I begin to prepare and program the seasons coming. Is someone getting blessed? So man of God, while you are looking at 10 members and saying, "God, you can't do this to me. Not after all my days of fasting," you should know that the way God works, he works by the law of seasons. There is the law of time and chance. There is the law of process. The knowledge of these laws prepare you immediately. If you hold 20,000, that is not all you will hold. It's only training your hands to hold it well. Is God helping us? believers are very ignorant. Let me show you something. In Acts chapter 7 and verse 22, there are two personalities in the Bible who have really, really surprised me. Number one is called Moses. Number two is called Abraham. I have studied their lives cheerfully. Are we together now? Because of the way they walk with God. And I found out that for every one of them, look at Moses. I want to show you something that will surprise you. How many of you know that Moses' assignment was a purely spiritual assignment? It was the assignment of a deliverer. If Moses was in the New Testament, we'll call him an apostle. And yet, look at the nature of his training. The Bible says God sent him to Egypt and he was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds. Why did God subject him to go and learn the wisdom of Egypt? Whereas his assignment was just to bring people out and to take them into the promised land. Is that in your Bible? Give us Genesis 12. I love preaching. Give us Genesis 12. Let me just drum this thing in my... Please give us Genesis 12. May God bless you. Thank you. Genesis 12. Watch this now. So, God is asking Abraham to leave his father's house and all of that to a land that he would show him. Is that true? Now, let me show you something very powerful. Give us from verse... I'm trying to look for... Let's go to verse 10. Genesis 12 verse 10. Please be patient while I read. Now, remember, Abraham had an encounter with God and God said, leave to the place of destiny. I will do this for you. You will become a father of this and that. The Bible now said there was famine in the land. Have you noticed that every time there is hunger and famine, where do they go to? This is true for Abraham. This was true for Joseph. This was true for Moses. Egypt is an antichrist place. They do not understand kingdom in terms of kingdom come, but they understand the wisdom of the cosmos. And whenever God is training his people, among the many things he does is he sends them to Egypt and says, learn something from Egypt. The symbol of Egypt, is it not the serpent? Please talk to me. So when he says, be as wise as the serpent, he's not just saying, copy the snake. He's saying there is a wisdom that comes with the cosmos. Give us that scripture, please. Let's just walk it a bit. And there was famine in the land. And Abraham went down to Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous. Now, this was a man who had spoken with God. You will think after an encounter with God, he should never feel the famine in the land. Your encounter, your altar of prayer, your altar of worship, it may still be rich, and you will be surprised. You will feel the effect of the happenings around the cosmos. Are we learning now? 11. It came to pass when he was come near into Egypt. Look at, are you seeing the pressure of Egypt made him to start telling lies? He never told lies when it was his relationship with God. But as soon as he got into the system, the effect of ignorance on how to operate in the system started producing in him, like a man of God will start well, not intending to bribe, not intending to do witchcraft, but as soon as hunger comes, he can arrange a conference to raise money. He said to Sarai his wife, behold now, I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Next verse. Therefore it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, they shall say, this is your wife, and they shall kill me, but you, they will save you. You see all these attributes finding expression? Say, I pray you, that you are my sister, that it may be well with me for your sake, and that I will live. Did he have to go there? If you are going to tell that level of lie to go there, why don't you just go down? You go back and hunger will kill you. But you have to compromise and go into Egypt. Are you seeing now? The price for going into Egypt is that you must be prepared for compromise. But if you withdraw, you may keep whatever and hunger will kill you and you will die. Look at the dilemma that this man is in now. Is someone getting blessed? The king's officials told him about her, and she was taken to his house. The Bible says the king was good to Abraham because of Sarah. And Abraham was given sheep. Look at the gifts that he was given. Are you seeing where he got his wealth from? Where did he get it from? In Egypt. His spirituality was powerful. But his wealth and dominion came when he went to Egypt. He entreated Abraham well for her sake. And he had given him sheep, oxen, and asses, and men servants, and she asses, and camels, and all of that. Let's read down. It says, the Lord now plagued Pharaoh. Are you seeing that now? Everybody look at this. This is powerful. My God. Now, he goes to meet the king in Egypt, Abimelech. Is that true? And Abimelech says, there is something I'm looking for. But I understand that one of the laws of life is the law of exchange. I will have to entreat your favor. This is what I have. Something must leave me for something from you to come. Are you seeing now? The wisdom of Egypt. He didn't sit down and wish the woman, like many of us would do. He said, no, I know that I have to give you something that is valuable that you need. That the table of destiny is the table of negotiation. It's not just a table of wishes. World leaders know this. So he says, let me give you gifts. I see that you are not very wealthy. I am wealthy. I need this woman you've told me as your sister. It took God to intervene. God had to say, hey, he started plaguing him because of Abraham's wife. Now that is the power of a relationship with God. After you have a relationship with God, when you go to the cosmos and Satan wants to take an advantage of you, the God who you have a covenant with will now speak for you like he's speaking. But already, notice, already the gift has been given and there's no record of him collecting it back. 18. Pharaoh called Abraham and said, what is this that thou hast done to me? Thou did not tell me that she was your wife. 19. He says, why sayest thou that she is my sister? I have taken her to wife now. Behold, take your wife and go. But not alone. Go with all the gifts that I brought to you. Are we together now? Go with everything. Verse 20 says that Pharaoh commanded the men concerning him. They sent him away and his wife and all that he had. Now give us 13 verse 1. It will make a lot of sense to you now. Abraham went out of Egypt. He and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him to the south. Are we together? So tell me please, why did God send him to Egypt from this story? You read it. What did he really do in Egypt? There was something he needed for his destiny, but it was found in Egypt. He went out of Egypt. Verse 2. Abraham was very rich in cattle. Next time you read it, you know where it came from now. He was rich in silver. He was rich in gold. Let's stop there. Don't be afraid when God sends you to learn the wisdom of Egypt. You don't have to be compromised. It is the wisdom of the serpent you can learn. And still have the dignity of kingdom integrity. Why? Because your relationship with God is still intact. So he says you are a sheep in the midst of wolves. You don't run away. You have to wear the regalia of wolves to look like one. But you know by heart that you are a sheep. So you will register the company like other companies. You will go for the board meetings too with secular people and antichrist people. You don't run away waiting for only believers to teach you secular knowledge. You will go to a university with hedonistic people. And while they are teaching, you still have the conviction of heaven. Are we together now? Hallelujah. It's very important for you to understand this. The price of greater enlightenment. I've had the honor and the privilege of learning the wisdom of leadership and even administration. And it is not all the teachings. I have a system of verifying and editing everything I learn. Albeit my heart is open to receive wisdom from people. They tell you someone is a professor in Harvard and Oxford and Yale, it will be stupid of you to think they don't know what they are saying. They may not understand spiritual things, But as far as the matters of Egypt is concerned, they have something you need. This is where the pride of Christians come. We hold our Bible and we say yes, but the truth is that some of us cannot interpret what is written there until we take advantage of the wisdom of Egypt. You are not allowed to copy the lifestyle of Egypt, nor to bow to the gods of Egypt, but you can extract their wisdom. Are we learning? So for some of you here, in addition to your prayer, in addition to your fasting, in addition to what God has done, you may need to go online and learn about administration and leadership. A 30-minute video on proper administration can turn your ministry to a new dimension. The problem with the ministry is not spirituality. You are doing well, but you do not know how to multiply and preserve things. There are ministries that their problem is financial management, because the truth is they do not have the wisdom and the intelligence for proper planning. It's not that God is not faithful, but there is no system. And this is even true for nations. No wonder many unbelieving nations seem to have economic stability. And have it, they may not honor the God of heaven, but my goodness, you see the dexterity, you see organization in those nations. We can humble ourselves and learn. When it has to do with the wisdom of the cosmos, it is not unscriptural to learn. Albeit you submit it to the wisdom of the world and edit the part of it that directly does not promote kingdom come. But there is a part of it that is important. Look unto Abraham your father and to Sarah that bare thee. If you ever find out how Abraham was rich, he was sent to Egypt. The Bible says, talking about Moses. Now give us that scripture. Acts chapter 7 and 22. It says that Moses was sent and he was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. God himself allowed him. I hope you know Moses was in ministry. Moses was not like Daniel, who was in politics. Do you know when Daniel went? I wish we had time. Would have dealt with the story of Daniel. When Daniel went to Egypt, it's in your Bible. In Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8, the Bible says when they went there as slaves, Daniel proposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat, not the king's knowledge. It was the king's meat he refused because it was given to idols. But he was taught the ways of the Babylonians. It's in your Bible. It was the king's meat he rejected because this one was offered directly to idols. But the wisdom of the Babylonians, he had it. And after 10 days, they tested him. He said he was 10 times better. Is it in your Bible? Could it be that there are many, many things in addition, not in defiance to spiritual laws? We must incorporate, guided by the word of God and structured mentorship. There are laws of life. There are realities about the human nature that we must know and understand. Otherwise, failure will be imminent for many people.
For the way of the Lord is the way of wisdom. I choose the way.
So if Jesus says the children of this world are wiser than us, it means there is something we must learn. For God to use Moses, he sent Moses to Egypt. Moses spent a major part of his life under tutors and governors that were largely antichrist. Abraham was sent in Egypt and he came back and got wisdom and he was able to use it. Joseph, the same thing happened to Joseph. When Joseph went to Egypt, Joseph did not just go to Egypt and sat there. There were things he knew and learned, all for his enthronement. What of Jesus? Jesus came to abolish the law, but when he came, the first thing he did was to go to the temple. The same scribes and Pharisees who Jesus said, "You are of your father the devil," yet he submitted to them and he learned. It is written that he used to defeat Satan was learned in the temple. Are we together? Even though he was the word of God. Are you seeing the pattern there? The same thing happened with Paul. Paul, who would later be used by God. as a scribe and a Pharisee, he submitted himself to learn. He was a doctor of the law. And then when he had an encounter, he did not waste it. There was a time where it was not prayer that saved him. He said, hey, I'm a Pharisee. Don't kill me. He had to use the wisdom. He had to use that wisdom. He said, I'm a Pharisee. I have a right to be alive. Can I tell you, there are many rods that you will need in your journey to destiny. There are times where you will have to use the advantage of the wisdom of the cosmos. He said, do not be afraid. I have many people in that city. That is the basis of your security. There are angels, but as per your sustenance in this city, find rest. It is the numbers that will become your security. He said, in the multitude of men is the king's honor. This is the wisdom of the cosmos. Most believers do not know and appreciate the power of influence, for instance. We reject it as though it is antichrist. It can be antichrist if not managed. And we have ignored influence to our detriment. If God is giving us wisdom, say amen.
Amen.
Let's hurry up. Prize number four. What is the fourth prize? For higher dimensions, greater dimensions. The prize of greater contribution / productivity. The price, you want to be great and you want to explore virgin dimensions in the spirit and in life and destiny especially. The fourth price is the price of greater contribution, the price of productivity. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 16. It says the gift of a man or a man's gift maketh room for him and bringeth him. Someone say bringeth him. The gift does not only make room. It can transport you from one realm to the other. One realm of possibility to the other. It bringeth him before great men. There's no way for him to get to the place of great men. But his gift would bring him before great men. Hallelujah. This is very, very important. In Daniel chapter 5, let's read verse 10. Let's look at how the Lord exalted Daniel. In Daniel chapter 5, now a little background. When you read from verse 1, don't turn there. Let me just... The Bible talks about the son of Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar. Is that true? And the Bible says they had stolen vessels from the house of God. And they were making merry and... You know, giving the credit to the God of the Babylonians and all of that. Suddenly, a hand pierces through their place there and writes on the wall, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. And the king was disturbed. The Bible says he shook, his legs were shaking. And he called on all the astrologers and the sorcerers to come and help interpret. And sadly, they could not. And he was downcast. Are we together? Verse 10 now. You will understand it from there. The Bible says the queen, his wife now, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house. And the queen spake and said, O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor thy countenance be changed. Verse 6, next verse. It says, there is a man in thy kingdom, in whom the spirit of the holy gods is. And in the days of thy father's light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the God, was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, said, made master over the magicians. Look at the role they gave him. He was master over what? And this is the position he occupied in Egypt. Verse 12. For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences, look at solutions, dissolving of doubts were found in the same, which same Daniel, the same Daniel that proposed that he will not defy himself with the king's meat, the same Daniel that called upon the Lord, strong priesthood, but he was Daniel with this plethora of abilities and solutions, showing of hard sentences, dissolving of doubts, were all found in the same person. He said, let him be called, and he will show the interpretation. Next verse. Then was Daniel brought in before the king, And the king spake unto Daniel, Art thou Daniel? Art thou the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Jewry? And 14, he said, Yes. And he said, I have heard of thee that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. Remember, this was a Hedonistic king testifying over Daniel. 15. We're reading to 17. And now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me, that they should read the writings and make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But they could not show the interpretation of the things. 16. It says, I have heard of thee that thou canst make interpretations and dissolve doubts. Why was he called into the palace? The solution, the extent of the solution he could provide. His level of productivity was so much. The king didn't want to bring him, but the wife advised him and said, if it's to solve this your problem, there is only one man. The same thing happened to Joseph. Are you seeing the patterns now? Now, if thou can read the writing and make known unto me the interpretation, what will be the reward? Thou shalt be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about your neck, and thou shalt be the third ruler of the kingdom. Instant promotion, the potential for promotion. But I love Daniel. Daniel answered and said, let thy gifts be to thyself. A man who is not blessed will not speak like this. He says, and give your rewards to another. Yet, because I know that dominion is a product of solutions, I will read the writings unto the king and make known to him the interpretation. There is confidence that competence brings. There is a level of confidence. If you are competent, I can tell you this, there is a level of confidence, not pride. Daniel the Great. Look at what the king was willing to offer him just for interpreting this. I will make you the third in the kingdom. Now, when you read this, you will see, I don't have the time for us to read, but Daniel now told him something that we'll consider in maybe the next point. He said, listen, your father died because of pride. You too, you are going to die because of pride. The Bible said that same night he was slain. Are we together? Let's read 6 verse 1. Daniel, still Daniel. Don't be tired of scripture. It gives us wisdom. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom and 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. Verse 2. He said, and over these 3 presidents, of whom Daniel was what? First. Of whom Daniel was first. So even though he did not collect the gifts of Belshazzar, when Darius became king, he lifted him. No wonder when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were suffering, it was minus him. I hope you know that. Listen, believers, we must get to a point where we place value on productivity. If we do not place value on productivity, it is going to affect us. It is affecting Africa. It is affecting even the church in Nigeria. The Bible already says we are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. In addition to our priesthood, we must understand the power of superior contributions and productivity. Let me tell you something. Your productivity can bring you to a position in one day where you will salvage the destinies of men and bring honor and glory to the name of the Lord. The nation of Israel were preserved because Daniel, through value, rose to the position where he was second in command, and under his watch, God's people were preserved until there rose another Pharaoh who knew not Joseph. Are we together? May God forbid it that a time will come in this nation, because of lack of productivity, they will shut down and clamp down Christian activities because of one policy, and there will be nobody to speak. Can I tell you, we can be effective priests, but if our contribution is not superior, to go beyond religion, beyond race, beyond the local environment, we are going to remain small. This is an apostolic message. Nations are built with a combination of priesthood and superior contribution. Not priesthood alone, superior contribution. Hallelujah. So So that we do not get to a point where, respectfully speaking, look at what has happened to our nation and many nations in Africa. Anything happens, we become the victims of it. Whether it is policies, migration policies, whatever it is. Because the truth is, with respect to the global table, our contribution may be significant within a place, but it's not. People depend on the facts and the figures. The figures don't lie. If you contribute seriously, as far as the table of nations is concerned, there are certain statements that will not be made to you. Is that true? That is why we pray that there will be men who are on fire for Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, but filled with superior wisdom, that God will lift them, are we together, to be captains of industry, that a time will come in this nation, it is the church who will determine political leaders, the church who will determine economic leaders. But it's not just to shout amen. We will keep saying amen and remain low, because it will take contribution. Contribution is what legitimizes the door of greatness to open for you. Not sentiments. Contribution. How many believers have been given projects, construction projects? They are on fire, but they did a bad job because they will not train themselves and hide under the fact that, remember, we are believers. I believe in spirituality, but I believe in excellence. That you deliver at a level that defies anybody who wants to speak against you. If we had time to read Daniel chapter 6, you will see that by reason of his being exalted as one of the presidents, there were a few people who were angry. And the Bible says they came to check him using the basis of incompetence, and they found him upright. There was nothing they could get, so they had to go to the issue of prayer. The goal was to trap Daniel, but he was not only spiritual, he was so exceptional in his duty. Hallelujah. Value and contribution. As a man of God, the pulpit should not be your only jurisdiction of dominion. If business people gather and you are to speak to them, do you have something to tell them? If diplomats gather together and they say, please, just a 10-minute charge just to encourage them, do you have what to tell them? Make up your mind to be competent. It's a decision I made with myself, and I have challenged people. And you see, when you make up your mind to be competent, God will send those who need that kind of thing to you. Look at the men of David. Those who were distressed, those who were in debt, those who were confused, David turned them into mighty men. Not just mighty men in terms of the spiritual context. They were warriors with honor. The Bible says one of them stood in the same position and held a knife and brought down 800 people. And even when he released the knife, it refused to leave his hand. It will not leave his hand. That is a level of mastery. Koinonia, please hear me. In the name of Jesus, in the area where God would want you to serve his purposes, go for knowledge. Go for knowledge. Humble yourself and learn. Challenge yourself. If you are in the banking sector, be the best. Be exceptional. I told you, you don't stop till you serve kings. You own a restaurant, let it be the best. You are a politician, rise to the highest level, that within your time of politics you bring great honor to the name of the Lord. Developmental projects, that it does not have to be whether you are a Christian or Muslim or anything in between, that everybody can see and attest to the fact that this governor, this president, this minister, this board member, unbelievers can come unanimously and say sincerely, if it is in terms of competence, let's throw away this. This person can deliver. Until we get to that point, we will keep flattering ourselves with religious sentiments, and it will not work. Our priesthood will prepare the heavens to favor us. Listen, it is your assignment to be valuable and competent. It is God's assignment to connect you to those who need it and reward it. Are we together now? You have to understand how it works. It was Daniel's assignment to be competent. It was God's assignment to connect him to the king through his wife. It was Joseph's assignment to be competent. It was God's assignment to give the dream. The spiritual advantage will be wasted if you are not prepared. It is often said that favor is when preparation meets opportunity. There are many preachers who love Jesus, but they are not ready to speak to a global audience. They are not ready to speak to intelligent people. They are not ready to communicate the truth of the kingdom with wisdom and exactitude, because we have not worked on ourselves. We have prayed, but we have not built ourselves. It takes more than just prayer and Bible study. Let me tell you, to be able to build a ministry that flourishes, there are many other components. To be able to communicate to people, people are not stupid. They will not just come and listen to nonsense. You must be thoroughly furnished, like a reed that has been taken out of fire. So you are speaking and a CEO is listening to you. A prayer warrior is listening to you. Are we together? And even those who are not born again, let me tell you this, without any sense of pride, there are many, many Muslims and unbelievers right now who are connecting and listening to me. They are listening with their heart open, because even though they may not believe in Jesus, but there is a dimension of the truth that is life applicable. They can use it for their businesses and come back with results. At least they are coming close to the gates of the kingdom. Refuse to be incompetent and don't give any excuses for it. They send you to deliver a speech to a board. Do your homework. Wake up in the night. Cross the T's and dot the I's. You are human, but you can be human to an extent that you are almost godlike. Competence is a possibility in the world of men. Let's stop giving flimsy excuses. You are a leader. Nobody will follow you just for sentiments, tribal sentiments, sentiments of regions. You must be competent to deliver. People want to be proud of their leaders. They can stand and say, this is my pastor, this is my man of God. Not bringing rubbish and commanding loyalty. It will not work that way. I love you. That's why I'm pounding on you. We'll soon reconcile. But for this one, just get it into your spirit. You will thank me for it. Superior dimensions in life and destiny. Access to the ears of kings and nations. No, it will not just come by priesthood alone. In addition to priesthood, a rich qualitative spiritual life, there must be substance that you can deliver.
Amen, 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 amen. Amen, 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 amen.
I'm saying amen to what I've told you. That's my song.
Amen. Amen, 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 amen. Amen, 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 amen. Amen, 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 amen.
Amen.
One more time.
Amen.
Amen, 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 amen.
Amen, 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 amen.
Amen.
Price number 5, we're wrapping up. The price of strategic connections. What does it take to scale new heights in the spirit and in destiny? Price number 5, the price of strategic connections. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, please, from verse 9 and 10. It says, two are better than one. Two are better than one. Why? They have a good reward for their labor. That means your productivity is multiplied to the degree to which you are connected. Verse 10. It says, for if one fall, the other one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he had not another to help him. Listen, there are many kinds of connections in your life, but there are strategic connections that define your life. I'm going to give you two of them very quickly. Number one is Nehemiah chapter 2. The first 11 verses, we will not read everything. The Bible talks about Nehemiah, who was the cupbearer of the king, Artaxerxes, that kind of name. I don't know why he didn't give us a shorter name. I will call him the king of Persia so that I can have my peace to preach. Are we together? And it came to pass in the month Nisan, the 20th year, remember our king again, the king of Persia, that wine was found before him. And I took up the wine, I gave it to the king. Now, I had not been before time sad in his presence. Nehemiah is speaking now. He says, when the king saw his countenance, he said, Nehemiah, why are you sick? And I mean, why are you sorrowful? I know you are not sick. That means Nehemiah was a faithful cupbearer. Notice the transition from a cupbearer to the one who will now build the Jerusalem wall. He looked at the king, and the king loved him so much. Verse 3. Just give us the verses. I can read or explain, whichever. He says, why should my countenance not fall when I am here and the place of my father's sepulchres? In other words, I am here and the Jerusalem wall has not been built. Let's go to verse 4. The king said, so what is your request now? Everybody says strategic connections. When you are connected to the king, it's easy for some things to happen fast. Strategic connections. The king said, so what should I do now? He said, I pray to the God of heaven. Verse 5. The king said, if it please the king, and if your servant has found favor in thy sight, send me now to Judah and to the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. 6. And the king said unto me, the queen was sitting by him, for how long will your journey be, and when will you return? So it pleased the king to send him. Watch what the king did. I want to show you the power of strategic connections. Moreover, I said unto the king, if it please the king, let letters be given to me, to the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over. That means guarantee my safety and support me. Instead of meeting all the governors one by one, I met the king who has influence over them. And I said, king, give me a letter. Are we together? Verse 8. And a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gate of the palace, right? And the wall of the city, for the house that I may enter into. And the king granted me according to the good hand of God upon me. Verse 9. It says, then I came to the governors beyond the river and gave them the king's letters. Now the king had sent captains of the army and the horsemen with me. Say strategic connections. That guy would have died in the forest. He would have died in several places. He knew all the people he would have to meet one by one. And he said, king, you have influence. If I have a relationship with you, all I need is a letter. And look at how the man jumped it. He said, get on my chariot. He sent him with chariots. So every time they saw him, from the king, yes sir, please pass. Strategic relationships can shorten the time of your arrival to the next level. There are many of us who are meeting people one by one and meeting gates and systems one by one. We need to pray and say, Lord, in addition to those you have connected with me with, bring me to a point where I am connected to kings and gatekeepers. In one day, they will open a door for you that may take others 10 years. Are we together? Generally, relationships are profitable. But believe me, to rise to certain levels in life, there are certain strategic connections that will be needed in your life. They will redefine everything about your life. 2 Kings chapter 5, let's read from verse 1. The Bible talks about a man called Naaman of the king of Syria. He said he was a great man with his master. He was honorable because by him deliverance had come to Syria. The Bible says he was a mighty man, but he was leprous. Let's go to verse 2. The Syrians came and they captured Israel, and then a little girl was captured also who waited on Naaman's wife. Verse 3 now. I want to show you something there. She said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet in Samaria, for he would recover you. Are we together? 4. So he went in and told the Lord, thus and thus, this is what has happened. Let's go to verse 5. The king of Syria said, go. You see the letter again. Is it in your Bible? Now, this is the story. The little girl is saying, my Lord or my master or my boss, there is a prophet, a mighty prophet. If you go to that prophet in Israel, he can cure you of this. But I don't think you have the kind of influence to meet that prophet because he's a great prophet. And immediately, Naaman would have gone and said, I'm a captain of the army. He would have been surprised. You see the way Elisha treated him. He didn't even come out. Elisha was not a small man. The prophets ordained the kings. So these guys they had their own pride and pedigree too, unfortunately. Are we together? Now watch what he did. To save him the burden of negotiations and all of this, this is the wisdom of the cosmos that believers must learn. The king of Syria said, go, I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed, and he took him all of those gifts. Verse 6. He brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now when this letter is come to you, behold, I have herewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. The remaining is history, down to verse 11. Look at how easy it became for the king to be healed, for Naaman to be healed, because he had the endorsement of a great man's relationship. He went to the king, and when the king was downcast, the news reached Elisha quickly, and Elisha said, don't worry, send him to me, and he will know there is a prophet in Israel. To cut the long story short, the man was healed. Could it be that many things that look hard in your life now is because the relationship that has the power and the influence and the capacity to accelerate it has not come? The price for greater dimensions is the price of strategic connections. Strategic connections. Let me tell you the truth. It is a good thing for God to give you influence and access to the hearts of kings, because it will accelerate your journey economically and otherwise. There are people who are heavily defended and blessed. There are people who are heavily protected and supported because there are kings, there are captains who love them. There are men of God in this nation, men of God in Africa, who is not just the pulpit that is protecting them. God in heaven is there to defend them, but they have the jealousy and the loyalty of kings across the globe. Nations will close and open again for their sake. Are we learning? Let me give us the last one so we pray. I missed out on the story of the Shunammite woman. There's no time for that. We would have spoken about the Shunammite woman. The same Elisha who came to her and said, what should I do for you? Notice the woman. When she saw Elisha in 2 Kings chapter 4, you find that from verse 8 to 17. When she saw Elisha, she discerned that this was a great man of God. Immediately, she started preparing something to honor him. And Elisha came after a while and said, you've been helping me. What should I do? Should I speak to the king for you? He had that authority. King, help this woman. And that would have been it. Listen, not everybody is limited. This is a very, very sincere statement. Challenges are not general. They are limited. As much as people are suffering, there are people who with the same letter, that letter principle is still working till today in Nigeria and across the globe. There are people who may be ordinary people, but they will carry letters from superior voices with authorities and can take and say, listen, I just came to you. Who are you? I came with a letter. From who? So, okay. Where do you know him? He happens to be my uncle, or he happens to be someone God brought to my life. Are you sure? Let me see. Help this person, please. Give him all the support needed. Sign. We'll talk later. That's the end of it. So what are you looking for? I've applied this as 10 times. It has not worked. Okay, come back tomorrow. Drop your passport. Go. That's the end of it. Or, okay, there's a job given there, but I don't have a scholarship for the master's program, but it's too late. We've closed the door. Well, so person said I should give you. Please help him. We'll talk about your wife's issue tomorrow. Everybody, including the king, has his area of need. The person who can solve the king's problem, are we together, can get the king's favor too, for himself and for others. Kings have problems. They can solve the problems of others, but there are others who can solve their problems. You need both in your life. The kings who can solve your problems and access to the ones who solve the problem of kings. The last one and we pray. Did someone get blessed in church today? So that by the time you are sharing the grace, you is a wiser version of you that now lives. You know what to look for. You know what to pray for. Your prayer life now is on fire. Your word life, your passion for God. But you can see the missing links. This is why my life has clamped down in one place. Are you ready for number what now? Number six, the price of humility. This is the last price. You want to rise to a higher level, the price of humility. James 4 verse 6. James 4 verse 6. Pay attention as we wrap up. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisted the proud. Is that in your Bible? But giveth grace to the humble. Please give us, write for reference. We may not read it, but just write Daniel chapter 5 from verse 18 to 31. This was Daniel speaking to Belshazzar about Nebuchadnezzar and his pride. He said, your father fell because of pride. He exalted himself more than the king of heaven and he fell. And you now, his son, you are following the same step. What happened to your father will happen to you, and he died. And Darius took over. In James chapter 4 and verse 10, the Bible tells us powerfully the blessedness of humility. James 4, 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. This is a principle that I've learned for my own life. I've learned it by the privilege of relationship with the fathers of faith in this nation, not just in terms of the spiritual dimension, even in several areas. You know great people largely by the extent of pride and humility. They are truly very humble people. They will learn and learn again and learn from anybody. You can see somebody, you study some of these intellectuals abroad. You can see somebody who is a professor for excellence, listening to a little child talking to him. And he'll be saying, professor, this and that, you are wrong. And he say, oh, really? Not, I'm wrong. You will meet me at the class. No. You will tell him I'm wrong. And this is somebody who is a learned fellow. And he will listen and learn. The same thing you see with very prosperous people. And I pray that this will become a culture in our hearts. That as we rise, we will remain ever humble. God, you are the reason for all that I am. You are the reason for all that I have. Even though the nations praise you, your workings in my life, I acknowledge before you and before them that I am nothing before you. And God will measure 1,000 cubits for you. You are ready to go higher. Pride is a killer, my precious people. Pride destroys. And as we prepare to pray, I want us to start with this prayer over pride. There are some of us who pride has brought us to positions of shame and reproach right now. We are shadows of ourselves because we became full of ourselves. To acknowledge the God of heaven as the basis for all that you are and all that you have is true humility. Are we together? To remain ever humble before him. It is my prayer for myself. It is my prayer for this great ministry. It is my prayer for the body of Christ. It is my prayer for you and everybody who I truly love and care for, that humility will be a signature in your life. That when people look at you and say, why are you humble when everything is working in your life? Left, right, and center, you have seen the faithfulness of God. You will tell them that it's not just something I do mechanically. It is a revelation. It sustains the key to my next level. Pride is a demoter. It will demote you regardless the position. Humility is a promoter. It will lift you beyond this level. I have handed to you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, people of God, 6 keys. That if you walk in keeping with these keys, I give you a guarantee by the integrity of Scripture, you will watch your life move from one level to the other. First in your spiritual triumph, and then your destiny adventure, and then every aspect of your life. These are the keys that the great have traded with, that have brought them to where they are and continues to take them to levels, virgin dimensions in the spirit, virgin dimensions in destiny. Now, thanks be to God, the Bible says, which causes us always to triumph. Let me wrap up again with Proverbs chapter 4. It says, the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Please rise up on your feet. Please rise up on your feet. We are going to pray. Prayer point number one, just two prayer points for tonight. Prayer point number one, you are going to ask the God of heaven that this that was listed, these six keys that represent the price for new and superior dimensions, that the grace be given to you from heaven to walk in keeping with every one of these. Go ahead and lift your voice and pray. The Bible says, now that ye know these things, happy are you if you do them. Is someone praying? I obtain grace in the name of Jesus Christ. I obtain grace by the power of the Holy Spirit. I obtain grace in the name of Jesus Christ. The price of a deeper experience with God. The price of unbending focus. The price of greater enlightenment. The price of greater contribution and productivity. The price of strategic connections. And finally, the price of humility. Go ahead and pray. Father, I obtain grace. I am set for the new dimension. In the name of Jesus Christ, I am set for a new level in my faith adventure, a new level in my destiny, a new level in the spirit. Final prayer point. In the name of Jesus, I decree and declare by the power of the Holy Spirit, acceleration to my destiny, even for the next level. Go ahead and pray. Spiritual acceleration, financial acceleration, in the name of Jesus. Lord, bring me speedily, satisfy me early, even with your mercy. Greater levels of power, greater levels of illumination, greater levels in ministry, greater levels in every area of my life. I will excel in my priesthood. I will excel as far as dominion is concerned, wisdom to operate in the cosmos. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Before I speak over your life to wrap up tonight's meeting, let me make an altar call. One of the greatest index to measure the success of any man of God and any ministry is the souls that come directly through your preaching to Jesus Christ. Soul winning in order of priority, second only to your walk with God, is the greatest index for measuring ministerial success. No matter what you have and do, if souls do not come to Jesus, even if it is one soul, on account of the truths that you communicate, then you have not done justice. Let's minimize movement. I want to make an altar call. There are people here from the start, when I gave the first key and the first prize, the price of a deeper walk with God, the Holy Spirit convicted you immediately. This is you he's talking about. I sent you to church tonight for this reason and to hear this. You are saying, Apostle, I truly need to make my way right with Jesus Christ. Perhaps you have never truly been saved. You came here by invitation, or you have been here watching others saved and it has not really dawned on you that you should make that decision. Tonight is your chance. And then for those who are saying, Apostle, I want to rededicate my life. I cannot truly say that my walk with God is rich enough. I know that I've veered off and I need restoration. We have just 1 minute for you. Wherever you are, I want you to leave your seat and quickly come and stand right here. Quickly come and stand. Let's celebrate them as they come. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Jesus is calling on you wherever you are. Keep clapping as they come. God bless you. Keep clapping as they come. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. You are outside. You are up the balcony. All of the overflows. And you are following at home, watching by way of television or a rebroadcast. It is never too late to make up your mind for Jesus. Koinonia, is this the best you can do? Let's encourage them as they come, young and old alike. Jesus is calling you. Jesus is calling you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless you. If you are still joining them, please join them quickly. I want to lead you to pray the salvation prayer. The Bible says, with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made even unto salvation. Thank you so much for the courage. Thank you for coming to stand boldly before Jesus and even before his people. The Bible says, as many who will come to him, he will in no wise cast away. And all of you who are out in front of your LED screens, and someone who is watching from your home, you're watching by way of television, congratulations for your determination to make this decision. As I pray with them, I want you to pray and follow through with the prayer. I only ask that you do it believing that Jesus is listening to you, and that this decision will translate into a new life. For all of you who are in front, may I please request that you lift your right hand as a sign of surrender. And I want you to say this loud and clear. Please say this after me. Say, Lord Jesus, tonight I have heard your word. I love you with all my heart, and I desire to walk with you and to live for you. Right now, I receive Jesus into my heart as my Lord, as my Savior, and as my King. I declare that the power of sin, Satan, hell, and the grave is broken over my life. Right now, I receive eternal life into my spirit, and I declare that I'm a child of God. I go forward ever and backward never. In Jesus' name. Please keep your hands lifted. Father, thank you for these ones. They have made these declarations of faith. And I decree and declare by the authority of Scripture that your sins are forgiven in the name of Jesus. The power of sin, Satan, hell, and the grave is broken over your life. From tonight, we declare that you belong to the family of faith. You are recipients of eternal life. You begin a walk with God that will translate into an excellent life here on earth and even after, in the name of Jesus. I bless you with the blessings of heaven, and I declare for you that you begin a new walk with the Lord, full of testimonies, full of blessings. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Thank you for this bold decision. Let me request that you move to my right, and our counselors will be there to have a word with you very quickly. Thank you so much. Let's appreciate them as they go. Thank you. Keep clapping until they leave. God bless you. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, I declare over your life, this week beginning for you will be a week full of testimonies. As you put that which you have heard to practice, in the name of Jesus, I pray that God, who is a lifter of men, will lift you to new and strange dimensions. I declare over you, if you came to church tonight with anything that is an issue of concern, in the name of Jesus, the Son of the living God, it drops right now. I declare that you walk in liberty. I declare that you walk in favor. I pray for your spiritual life tonight. If there is anything that is fighting your prayer life, fighting your word study life, fighting your passion and your commitment for spiritual things, let it fall off like Dagon before the ark. In the name of Jesus Christ. I pray for you. You will find access to information, materials that will grant you superior understanding. In the name of Jesus. And for those of you who came here trusting God to visit you and open doors for you in one area or the other, I declare the doors open now. I place a mark upon you, and I call it the mark of exemption. I place a mark upon you, and I call it a mark of favor. I place a mark upon you in the name of Jesus. May you find help in the mighty name of Jesus. You will not die. You have no covenant with the grave. In the name of Jesus. And they that have been anointed and appointed to hold your hands and help you, in the name of Jesus Christ, I engage their ministry over your life. In the mighty name of Jesus. If you came here with any burden, any concern, maybe a financial burden, bills on your neck, there's something that is taking away your joy like Nehemiah. I stand representing the King of Kings and I decree and declare, the same way the King granted Nehemiah favor, in the name of Jesus, heaven is smiling upon you with answers. For in Jesus' name we pray. Take the time this week to listen to this message as well as all the other messages. Whether I preach them in Koinonia or not, all our teachings and all my ministrations are uploaded on Koinonia Global. Please go there and listen again and again. Even the external conferences, listen to them for your spiritual edification. The Lord bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's share the grace together in fellowship. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us. Amen.
We believe you are mightily blessed. To connect with the ministry and get more from Apostle Joshua Selman, follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Koinonia ENI. Stream Koinonia Live.
Go to meetella.com/koinonia-radio and download the teachings on koinoniadownloads.org. For questions and inquiries, call 0814-721-4444 or 0907-777-7856. We love and celebrate you.